support for OPB comes from our members and from our sponsors, like Mike Rosenberg from Columbia Credit Union. Mike says they trust what they see and hear on OPB, and that aligns with Columbia Credit Union's brand.
This is Think Out Loud on OPB. I'm Dave Miller. Healthcare in rural America is collapsing. That is according to a new report by the Chartis Center for Rural Health. It found that since 2010, 167 rural hospitals have either closed or stopped providing inpatient care. Hundreds more no longer deliver babies or give chemotherapy. In Oregon, almost half of rural hospitals are in the red right now. Leslie Ogden is an emergency physician and the CEO of two Oregon hospitals, Samaritan North Lincoln Hospital in Lincoln City and Samaritan Pacific Communities Hospital in Newport. Michael Topchick is a director of the Chartis Center. They both join me now. Welcome to Think Out Loud.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Michael Topchick, first, so the last few years, as I've mentioned, the last 10 years have been really challenging for rural hospitals, rural healthcare providers, but for hospitals of all kinds. That's something we've talked about a fair amount on this show. What issues are specific or are more acute for rural hospitals?
You know, I feel like in the last several years, this word disproportionate has come up really more than it should. But it is in fact the case with rural hospitals. They disproportionately serve an older, poorer, and sicker population. And as such, any types of changes in Medicare and Medicaid, which really are the biggest sources of insurance for older Americans and those with less ability to pay, that is those who don't have commercial care, are going to have a drastic impact, a disproportionate impact on the providers that serve them. And in this show, we're talking about specifically hospitals.
Well, Leslie Ogden, can you give us a sense for your patient mix in terms of the payment types that Michael was just mentioning?
Yes. Just like Michael indicated, we are that more typical rural type of space where we see overwhelmingly Medicare and Medicaid patients to the tune of 75% to 80% of those we care for fall into that category. So most definitely, those are the types of payers that are seeking our care and the types of patients that we see.
Do you?
And Leslie and David, just briefly, just jumping in and piggybacking, you know, the reason that's so important is in a more urban environment, you would see almost the inverse, right? The inverse plus, which would be you'd see largely commercial insurance. So anything that happens on a government perspective in terms of reimbursement is going to disproportionately impact these rural hospitals.
But Leslie, maybe you can help us understand this. Financially, why is this so significant? I mean, is it as simple as the fact that private insurers pay more in general for healthcare than Medicare or Medicaid, that you get less money if you have more patients who get healthcare through these federal systems?
So, Dave, while that is true, that is an accurate statement, the other problem that we're facing now increasingly is after inflation, after suffering through the pandemic and continued workforce shortages, we have now higher labor costs than ever. Definitely salaries and benefits are our highest cost. And those expenses, along with others, have just only escalated in recent years. So when you tack on that, the reimbursement for the care that's given is sort of baseline and doesn't move very much, and in some cases is actually reduced in some cases over time. And then you add on all of the escalating expenses, you basically get a scenario in which it's very difficult for rural hospitals to cover the cost of providing patient care.
Do you still, Leslie Ogden, do you still encounter patients who are uninsured? That was not supposed to happen as a result of the Affordable Care Act, but I'm wondering how common that is.
In Oregon, we're very fortunate that because we have prioritized our Medicaid expansion and we have CCOs in place as part of our accountable care organization network to make sure that those who are most disadvantaged still do have full medical care, we see a very small percentage of those that we care for being uninsured. Undoubtedly, there's always some people who fall through the cracks, but by and large, the majority of our state is covered, the majority of the people who live here.
Michael Topchick, you look nationally. Has Medicaid expansion, which in general was something that blue states or states led by Democratic governors or legislatures, they were more likely to do, making it easier for people who still are barely getting by, but had more money, say, than original federal guidelines, saying that you are eligible for Medicaid, our state's version of Medicaid. Do you see the effects of that when you look at the health of rural hospitals around the country?
The research is conclusive. We've been tracking and trending this for over a decade since Medicaid expansion. And each year, as more and more states do expand Medicaid, we compare and contrast the median performance of rural hospitals' operating margins as a key indicator. Right? No margin, no mission, right, David? And so if they can't maintain a positive margin to reinvest in their own hospital, they can't reinvest in their mission, which is their community. And we see a drastic difference between those states like Oregon who have expanded Medicaid and those who have not. And that gulf, that gap continues to widen. We now have 10 states left who have not expanded Medicaid, and the performance of their hospitals with this one measure, operating margin, which is a leading indicator, it might be a canary in a coal mine, you might say, is really telling. They are really struggling. They see disproportionately negative margins. States like Oregon, we fare better, but yet with that type of support, nonetheless, you mentioned at the top of the hour, you know, almost half, 43% of Oregon's rural hospitals still struggle. They're still operating at a negative margin. So Medicaid expansion has been a support, but it's not the end of the story.
Leslie Ogden, what did the numbers look like in your two hospitals? So as we just heard from Michael again, of Oregon's 33 rural hospitals, 43% of them have negative operating margins, are in the red. What about your two hospitals?
Yeah, and that is a true number for the past. We've actually got some more recent data that indicates that we're actually up to 61% of our rural hospitals having a negative operating margin. So we're not headed in the right direction. But specifically looking at my hospitals, we see that one of the hospitals has a negative operating margin thus far this year. One has a positive operating margin, but neither are meeting budget, meaning they're not doing as well as we had hoped. And we are still struggling with all of those types of expenses that are higher than normal and simply not making the amount of money that we need to cover the cost of providing all of the care that we do.
What are the levers you have from a purely, and I hesitate to even use that word purely, but purely financial way? If you think about a hospital as a business that has to take in some money in order to provide services, and as we heard from Michael, no margin, meaning not enough positive money, no mission, you can't actually succeed, you will fail. What can you do to cut costs?
Well, there's actually a variety of different things that you could do. Knowing that labor is the chief expense in most of our scenarios, you know, when you look at the bottom line, one of the first things that you see struggling hospitals often do is try to cut back on some of that labor expenditure. You might see first organizations that try to limit non-clinical items, maybe even limiting non-clinical jobs, really trying to wait on the biggest cutbacks in clinical care. But inevitably, sometimes you see some of these hospitals needing to cut services, basically, clinical services, especially those that are extremely expensive to deliver and all too often don't have the reimbursement to cover them. So, you know, in some areas, you might, in urban environments, you might see hospitals trying to increase their revenues to offset overwhelming expenses. In rural areas, it's harder to do that. And so inevitably, we do get to cost cutting, labor being a big one of those, and then clinical services as well, very unfortunately.
I should just remind folks, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the challenges facing rural hospitals. Leslie Ogden is the CEO of Samaritan North Lincoln Hospital in Lincoln City and Samaritan Pacific Communities Hospital in Newport. She is an emergency physician herself. Michael Topchick is the director of the Chartist Center for Rural Health. That is a research firm connected to a healthcare consulting company. Michael, speaking of closing down aspects of a hospital, it does remind me of what I mentioned at the beginning, that that some hundreds of hospitals have closed chemotherapy offerings or obstetrics and gynecology. So are those then examples of services that can cost more than they bring in?
That's exactly right. In an effort to stay viable, you know, as Leslie just mentioned, you know, we've looked at this hospital closure crisis with some close to 170 rural hospitals closing over the last, you know, 10 years. But the reality is the loss of services is far more severe. These vital services in communities like obstetrics, we've seen 25%, a full quarter of the nation's rural obstetrics services close in the last decade. We've seen, you know, 380-ish hospitals, rural hospitals, lose their ability to provide basic chemotherapy services. And just imagine what that means for a rural person who now has to travel when they're not feeling well, they're very sick, and they have to travel an hour each way or 2 hours each way to get those vital services. So general surgery is another example. We could go on and on and on, but rural hospitals who are, you know, sort of under pressure with these diminishing margins and negative margins will just shed services as an attempt to stay viable. But they are, you know, offering, you know, diminishing really critical and vital service lines that their community would like. And the rural hospitals have to make these very difficult decisions about, you know, can we, should we, and is it possible? So that's what's happening. Leslie just framed it perfectly. I couldn't challenge that. My data, unfortunately, in our research says it's so, and it's so, and it's increasing.
You've said, Michael, that the surge in Medicare Advantage plans as payers for Medicare-eligible beneficiaries is one of the single biggest challenges right now for rural hospitals, less so in Oregon, which we can get to, but absolutely a huge deal in a lot of other parts of the country. Why? For those of us who are not experts in federal healthcare reimbursement, why are these plans that are increasingly popular? 33 million Americans were enrolled in one of them at the start of 2024. Why are they increasingly a problem for rural hospitals?
Yeah, you know, for those of us who are consultants in healthcare, we get into some of the wonkiness of healthcare finance, and I'll try to stay above that fray. It is really, really challenging for rural hospitals. This is a program that has become increasingly popular amongst rural seniors and seniors across the country. The idea of Medicare Advantage is a very simple one. It's that Medicare is a federally operated program that offers insurance to seniors. And Medicare Advantage is the idea that we're going to unleash the free market on that, and we're going to let seniors choose to participate in, you know, coverage that is designed by private insurance companies. You know, we can all think of United's and the Blue Crosses, Blue Shields, you know, all of the Aetnas, all of the big insurance companies around the country and small ones. And so it's very popular with patients. It's very problematic for rural hospitals. So in Oregon, I can give you some specifics. We have seen about a 10% increase in the penetration of this choice amongst your seniors in the state, to the point where we now have about 27% of your Medicare eligible beneficiaries, the seniors, choosing this option. That's way behind the national median, which is 38%. Many states are seeing 50% and above. That tells me, Dave, that you're going to see more of this in the future. And I'm sure Leslie is preparing for this. I will tell you, frankly, when I meet with CEOs around the country of rural hospitals, this is their number one existential sort of issue they're focused on. When I ask them what keeps them up at night, it's always staffing, staffing, staffing. Right, Leslie?
Yes.
But like, that's kind of like the baseline. This is the new thing that's keeping CEOs up at night. Why? Well,
why in 2 minutes, by the way, that's, you have 2 minutes to answer that question. Actually, okay, 1 minute, because I want to hear from Leslie as well.
Yeah. And I'll be very brief. Basically, Medicare has been a predictable insurance a payer for healthcare for a long time. And it's understood, you know, the mechanisms are understood and it works. With Medicare Advantage being new, rural hospitals struggle. And then there are some structural aspects where they're not paid in the same manner. In other words, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. And I'll kind of leave it at that to say that there's not parity in payment. It's a challenge to administer. And what's happening, David, is that rural hospitals are left in the lurch to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, if not millions of dollars a year. And reminder, the median rural hospital operating margin is about 0%. That means they're not making a lot of money. They might not be losing a lot of money. But if you add this to the mix, they'll be losing a lot of money.
Leslie Ogden, I want to give the last word to you. You have about 30 seconds.
Yes, I could not agree more with how Michael describes it. And certainly it is concerning as things change in our payer mix, meaning the things that were relied upon in the past are different. They have much more overhead to get that same dollar in payback for services rendered. And this is definitely something that that we are looking at and considering as we move forward as to, wow, one more stressor in our already very stressful rural world that we live in.
Leslie Ogden and Michael Topchick, thanks very much.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Leslie Ogden is an emergency physician, the CEO of two hospitals in Lincoln County, Samaritan North Lincoln Hospital and Samaritan Pacific Communities Hospital. Michael Topchick is the director of the Chartis Center for Rural Health.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.